Take your Bibles, please, on our way to the book of Matthew. We're going to be stopping by the book of John, John chapter 3. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would guide now as we look into your word. Lord, I ask that you would speak and speak in a great way. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. 3 weeks ago, I preached a message entitled Prologue to get this series going that we have been looking at and we will be looking at for two more Sundays. Basically, in that message, pointed out this, that we are not pawns. We are humanity. We are people created in the image of God. We have an enemy that is doomed, but we have an enemy. If you don't believe that, read your newspaper. We have a one that has a desire, according to the book of Isaiah, where he said, I will be like the Most High. Sadly, that is what a lot of humanity desires to do. I want my own way. I want to do what I'd like to do. And so when times like this of Christmas come along, Christians are challenged. But there's three struggles that we deal with. The whole world does who look at Christmas, but Christians especially. Number one is the mesmerizing of this world. The world has so much that it's drawing its attention, that has its drawing our attention. It's shopping, it's all kinds of activity. That's the mesmerizing of the world. But also there's the enormity of the story. This is not just a touchy-feely story. That we're talking about the destiny, the eternal destiny of all of humanity. There was a pastor one time that was in the jail of a major city in this world, and he was speaking one-on-one with an inmate, and he was giving him the gospel. All are sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That prisoner stopped that pastor, and he said, first of all, preacher, I want you to know something. I don't believe a word of what you're saying, but if I did, I would crawl on my hands and knees on ground glass around this city to tell people. I think he had a pretty good idea of the seriousness of it. And then there's the work of the wicked one. This is not about Santa Claus. It's not about a Christmas tree. It's not ho, ho, ho. It's he who came. Amen. Let's never forget that. There are three solutions, and again, speaking to Christians, that we can have, that we do have. First of all, in this time, we need to keep it biblical. It's about Christ. Secondly, we need to keep it in heaven's context. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And then lastly, keep it personal. Amen. D.L. Moody, as I pointed out 3 weeks ago, D.L. Moody wrote the following words next to Isaiah 6:8 in his Bible. I am only one, but I am one. I can't do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, I ought to do, and what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I will do. 2 weeks ago, we looked to this truth, that Jesus Christ changed the world. Just briefly, when the Bible is preached as it should be, when it's preached as the Word of God and not as a tool for other people to get power, as some people have, But when you let the Bible speak for itself, when you interpret it, when you let it interpret itself, I should say, you see that in this world that has been affected directly by the Bible, you see, first of all, the place of women has changed. The family, wives are not slaves. Men are not tyrants, and children have significance. When it comes to government, out of our faith came government that is truly civil. Education, education for all. During Paul's time, no women were educated, and only the elite boys were given education. Now all have it. Business, there's the ethics born of the Christian faith. Science. Science, true science, was founded by Christians. Can't be. Oh, really? Talk to Raymond Damaden, I believe is how you pronounce his last name. Number one, he's a Christian. Number two, he's a scientist. Number three, he invented the MRI scanner. Talk to him about where true science comes from. There's the arts. Ugly became beautiful. It's a big step from a totem pole to the Sistine Chapel. And then, faith itself. You look at the book of Acts, you look at Hebrews 11, you find this out. There is a faith that is worth having because God is faithful. Amen? Amen. Which brings us to the message this morning. We've looked at He changed the world. I want all of us to understand this. He changed your world. Amen. Your world. You personally, He changed your world. You stop and think about change that is taking place. I like this. You know, you just get on the internet, you go someplace, and there's always somebody that's put something on there. They've studied it out. In the last 20 years, the world population has gone from 5.9 billion to 7.6 in 20 years. The U.S. itself has gone from 276 million to 327 million, roughly. 20 years ago, less than 41% of Americans were online. Today, that's 89%. There was a little hick company that came along, funny name, called Google, 20 years ago. The vast majority of people no longer have home phones. They have something else, cell phones. Speaking of those, in 98, under 60% of people had cell phones. Today, it's 95%. And 77% of those cell phones are smartphones. We literally are carrying around in our pockets and on our person computers in a pocket. Driverless cars are a reality now. Although I believe for some time now there are some countries that you can go to in the world and they've had that for a long time. Somebody is sitting behind the steering wheel, but I'm wondering if they're a driver. In all of this, now catch this please, in all of this recent change, there have been people that have impacted us. Steve Jobs of Apple, Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook, Larry Page and Sergey Brin of Google, and then Jeff Bezos of Amazon. How many of you have used Amazon this year to go shopping? You see what I mean? There's change that many people love to see. We think of a new technology, a new toy, a new tool, a new car. Sometimes that can be a toy or a tool. Sometimes a new relationship. But I want you to understand something. They're all temporary. All of them. No matter what new thing makes its way into our lives, there is something that will not change without the babe in the manger. And that is your destiny without the babe in the manger who became the Christ on the cross, who was born to die, your destiny stays the same. Look at John chapter 3, a very familiar passage, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, we'll have more to say about that later, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But let's read on. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him, watch this, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned when? Let that word sink in. Because there are many, many people today walking around the world that have a death sentence on them for all eternity. Go to Matthew chapter 1, if you would, please. Matthew chapter 1. Without Jesus Christ, we got to face it. Your future and mine is set, and it's not good. But this took place. Verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. She had sinned against him. He was going to set her aside. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. The name Jesus is a form of the Hebrew name Joshua or Jehusha, the basic meaning of which is Jehovah will save. There were people that had that name back then, but it didn't mean the very same. Because while they said, yes, the Lord saves, Jesus came, Jesus Christ came, he is the Savior. The sad thing is, you may not want the Savior to bother you about your world. Even though the Bible says, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You look at the verse there, verse 21, bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. That word, hamartia, that translates sin, literally means to miss the mark. It's a source of action in the life, an element producing actions. It's what makes us do wrong. And we need salvation from that. If we think, you know what, I just don't want it. You know, I've heard it enough. I'm not into it. It's fine when the kids kid up and they put a little bit of a program on. But other than that, I'm not interested. I want you to know something. We're talking about the world. I want you to understand something. Sin is changing your world. The sin that is spoken of right here is changing your world. The changes that the gospel has made in America are being cast aside. Do you know that there are more people that are considered, that call themselves witches in America than Presbyterians? 1.5 million to win it. No matter what science says, no matter what the history says, no matter what the Bible says, people are saying, I'm just casting it aside. Sin is changing your world. And by the way, friend, because of that, you've got to know this. Your world is dying. Your world is dying. Civilization is coming apart. It is dying morally. It is dying culturally. It is dead spiritually. We had another killing late last night, right here in Sacramento. A woman that was shot and killed. Friend, these things aren't, it isn't far off. It's reality. It's going on right now. In saying he changed your world, I mean Jesus Christ opened the door to permanent, eternal change with you in mind. And I want you to hear me out this morning. Paul made a telling statement. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. For those of you that have studied the Bible, you would recognize this chapter as what many call the love chapter. It describes love. Charity, agape love, verse 4, suffers long, is kind, it doesn't envy. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, etc., etc. But then there is something that is said. Look, if you would please, at verse 8. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. They will come to an end. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. They shall cease of themselves. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, the word of God, then that which is in part shall be done away. Then Paul says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Then he says this, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. There's coming a time when we're going to recognize what it was that was all going on. Listen, God didn't write everything that he knows in the Bible. He had put in the Bible everything we need to know. And what we need to know is how we get to heaven when we die. Then face to face we will know. I like the way Ray Comfort put it. He says, you know, you wouldn't believe my upbringing. He said, my dad beat me. He left my mother and I. And one day, he killed an animal with his bare hands. Now, I say something like that, and you go, that guy has got to be wicked as all get out. Then he goes, let me tell you the rest of the story. He says, my dad spanked me when I was disobedient. That's how he beat me. And oh, by the way, the reason why he left us, he would leave early in the morning and come back late at night because he wanted to supply our need. And the little animal that he killed had been greatly injured and it was suffering greatly. And with tears in his eyes, he took it and snuffed the life out of it, and he hated it, and he hates it still that he had to do that. And all of a sudden, we see the whole picture. There are things that you can say, the Bible doesn't tell us, ergo, I'm not going to believe. I challenge you to take what the Bible does say, because it lays out a destiny for each and every person, as we saw in John 3:18, condemned already. But in John 3:16, he showed us how to do away with the condemnation. It's not just a babe in a manger that we're entertained by. Jesus truly was born to die. Solomon said this in Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You want to know truth? Trust in the Lord. Why do we do this? I have a verse taped on the inside of my Bible, right here. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's why we do what we do. Because Christ came to die so that we don't have to. We can have eternal life. The fact of the matter is, your world has been impacted by Jesus Christ, yours personally. And because of that, your world might be hanging in the balance today. Today. Go to Luke chapter 2, if you would, please. Luke chapter 2, we read in verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Verse 26, Luke 2. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents, Mary and Joseph, brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God, saying, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Look at this next phrase, please. A light to lighten the Gentiles. That's us. The light is shining. The sad thing is this. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. That's all of us. But the Lord draws us, and he's drawing you this morning. I want you to go, if you would, please, to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. A very familiar passage for the Christmas story. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah wrote under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. What we have here, along with other verses, is very simply the understanding how he impacted your world. Look at the first part again. Unto us a child is born. He's the personification of the grace of God. Imagine, stop and consider this. God became flesh. But then we see the personification of the glory of God. Unto us a son is given. That speaks of his deity. Are you looking for a miracle? Try this. Once again, God became flesh. Do you recognize that? God became flesh. Looking for what you need? Hey, try this. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Literally, the scepter. The full weight of responsibility, his sovereignty. We think, well, no, government, you know, government's here and it's there in Sacramento and it's over in Washington and it's this place and that. No. When we're talking about this, we're talking about the full weight of mankind what he does because he is King of Kings. That's government. That's government. Right here, he says, listen, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name, notice, his qualities. When the Hebrew people would give a name, they were looking for a definition of that person, what the name meant, not just something that sounded good. His name, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, his name shall be called. And I want you to see what he is for you. Number one, he's wonderful. He's a wonder, literally a wonder and a marvel. He's the supernatural one. It came out of his nature. You read the Gospels, you see it. His actions, his teaching, never man spake like this man. And that's what his enemies said. Never man spake like this man. Some may look at the babe and say, there's nothing extraordinary. I've got news for you. In Luke chapter 2, towards the end, we find Jesus as a 12-year-old boy in the temple asking and answering questions, giving opinion, speaking to the leadership of Israel. And they couldn't believe how he spoke. And he was 12 years old. I don't know about you. That's my kind of Savior. Watch this. He's not only wonderful, he's counselor. He's the supervising one, the authoritative one, who the people would gladly hear. Ultimate source of wisdom. That word counselor there means to advise, to purpose, to devise, and plan. In other words, he's the leader and the guiding force of our lives. Now, I'll do it my way. Like that famous sports guy said one time, I'm going to believe in me. I've never let me down. Well, he has since found out that he couldn't get himself out of hell. And neither can you. And neither can I. But instead, we have one that we go to who tells us, like we heard in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. Psalm 16:7, I will bless the Lord, which hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. Colossians 2:3, Paul said, speaking of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. He is wonderful. He is counselor. He's also the mighty God, a champion, a warrior. You know what's really neat? You see that word mighty? It could translate hero. He's our hero. He's the mighty God that we have. How do we know that? 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He came to overcome all that stands in the way of victory. This isn't just simply rockets, red glare, bombs bursting in air. We overcome. We don't have to sin. We have been set free from sin. If we'll listen. The challenge comes, though, that even while we speak of these things, it's not that we can't believe. It's that we won't. And therein is the challenge. He's the sovereign one. He's the sustaining one. Look next, the everlasting Father. As Jesus said to the disciples, said specifically to Philip, hey, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He's our creator. He's also our protector, like a father. He's the preserver. Hey, he created mankind through Adam. He makes us new creatures through himself. If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you're not just a creation now. You're a child of God. Amen. You have been adopted. How many of you in this room, you've been adopted? Raise your hand. One, two, three. No, when I forgive me, I mean adopted as in physically. One, two, three. You stop and consider this. As Brother Whiteside, who spoke on this before, you have more rights than a natural born child. You cannot be done away with in the family. Neither can we. But then, I'd like for us to see this. You see, he's the satisfying one. He's the Prince of Peace. The word peace there means a state of happiness, being, and prosperity. Prince, he's the captain of it. He's the Lord, he's the ruler. He brings us the greatest peace first. As Paul said in Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It literally means with facing. We stand face to face with God because there's nothing between our soul and the Savior anymore. Because when Jesus Christ died for me and I trusted him as my Savior, when the Father looks at me, he doesn't see me and my sin. He sees the righteousness of Christ. In John 14, Jesus told his disciples, peace I leave with you. And it's almost like he had to say something more. He looked at them and he said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, it is so very sad. On a prime piece of property in New York City, there's a building. The construction and organization of those that meet in that building was for this purpose. Mankind so passionately desires peace. And so in place of the failed League of Nations came the United Nations. And the United Nations, promising peace, has failed again and again and again. And yet, there are so many that put more faith in that than they do in him. Amen. And that is so very sad. Because again, we would tell them, your world is dying. And if that's your desire, friend, your world is dying. If that's where you're putting your faith, if that's where you're desiring peace. But Jesus came, and he says to those that will trust him, my peace give I unto you. Daily I look at the news online, and I wonder, is this the day I'm going to see where things fly apart? It hasn't happened yet, but it will, because God said it would. And then there would come someone who would promise peace, but he's not the peace that passes all understanding. He's the wicked one. The Savior already came, and he will come again. And that is when he will bear rule here, and he will reign for 1,000 years. But meanwhile, he gives us these promises to those that would trust him. Philippians 4, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When the prophet there in Isaiah chapter 9 was looking down the corridor to Christ, he looked beyond and he saw Christ when he came again, bringing that peace, that peace. But for now, this is what we have. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The whosoever of John 3:16 tells each and every one of us, our God and Savior had in mind us when he died on the cross. That is why we celebrate Christmas. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would guide now in this time. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking.